You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
Today I spoke to Associate Professor Mara Lee Panahera about the significance of the moko kaiwai. The issue has been in the media recently after a Pākehā woman got a moko kaiwai, causing a discussion of cultural appropriation and the problematic reasons with Pākehā or non-Māori getting moko kaiwai. Mara discusses both the cultural significance and also the difficulties with Pākehā and moko. First, coming into all this, I just wanted to say for our listeners that I'm a Pākehā woman who has only just come to New Zealand recently from the UK. So can you explain what a moko kaiwai is and its significance?
Sure, thank you. Ngā mihi nui ki a koe, o te rā ki a koutou. You know, moko kaiwai for us is about, it's an identity marker. It's about representing who we are as members of our whānau, hapū and iwi. So the carvings that we wear on our faces, and for women, the moko kaiwai on our chins, represent our genealogy. It's significant because this is an ancestral process that has been handed down to us for many, many generations. So we are holding and maintaining to the integrity of that which has gone before us, for a long time before us. But it's also very significant because through the process of colonisation, women were discouraged totally from continuing this practice. We also saw the Tohunga Suppression Act, which outlawed processes of the continuation of skin carving. We also saw the women's suffrage movement of New Zealand that disallowed women to have moko kaiwai if they wanted to retain their membership in women's suffrage. So it's a significant identity marker, but it's also a significant marker of our reclamation of things that are important to us, our resistance against the Crown and against colonisation that disallowed this practice for many years.
So what's the difference between a moko kaiwai and a moko somewhere else on your body?
So I think what we've talked about in the last week is that the particular significance of moko kaiwai is that it is on your face and that is part of your head. And so there's a certain tapu or a certain sacredness that surrounds our faces and our heads that doesn't apply to other parts of our body necessarily, although that is a wider conversation. But the distinction that we've been making this week is that our skin carvings on our face and on our heads are particularly ours, and they are absolutely and unequivocally associated with our whakapapa, with our genealogy. There are many other markings on other parts of our bodies that we have been able to share with others, and we've done so, I think, with considerable generosity. So people now wear markings, you know, that reflect Māori skin carving on their arms, on their shoulders, on their backs and legs and things like that. And that's something that we've been quite prepared to share.
Is there a specific way that a moko has to be applied? And is it a ceremonial practice?
It's definitely ceremonial. And the ceremonial practices will differ from whānau to whānau, from hapū to hapū and from iwi to iwi. So there isn't a one-size-fits-all in terms of the ceremony, but it is. That's a really good question, and it is important to recognise that there is strong and significant ceremony that surrounds the process of moko kaiwai and moko kanohi in particular. And sometimes that surrounds moko on other parts of the body, in particular the pūhoro that is applied to our men on their buttocks and legs, and that has been applied to some women in some instances.
So what do you view the main issue and difficulties with Pākehā getting any moko, and specifically the moko kaiwai?
So there is a distinction, and the difficulty with non-Māori women receiving moko kaiwai is that it's simply a skin carving that reflects your genealogy as a wahine Māori. And if you are not a wahine Māori, then you can't legitimately wear those designs, because it's just an untrue reflection of who you are. I think it's important to make the statement that this isn't about, although the outcome is excluding, it is excluding non-Māori women from this practice. The reason for that is, one, we need to hold our own traditions, protocols and sacredness of wahine Māori for ourselves. But secondly, it's about encouraging women from, you know, who are Pākehā or from other cultures to research, identify and link to their own cultural practices. So we see moko kauai and other moko as a healing intervention, actually, and we would encourage other women to seek that for themselves from their own cultures, because we know that exists.
Can you explain to me the relationship between moko and whakapapa?
The designs that we have carved into our skin are generally representative of the various tribes that we come from. So, for example, I have designs on my arms that reflect both my tribal links through my father and through my grandfather, so they're from two different tribes, if that makes sense at all.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So the relationship between moko and whakapapa is, it is what it is. It's complete. That's what these moko represent, in particular the moko on our faces. We can have moko on other parts of our body that reflect different things as well. What the issue is today is that we have a Pākehā woman who's received moko kauai and apparently has the backing of whānau and of hapū and of iwi. To date, we've only seen her husband come forward and speak to that. We haven't seen any hapū or iwi stand up and say, yes, we've sanctioned this. So there is some question around the validity of that narrative.
And with that, do you think that, you know, it's not just important to protect moko kauai in its representation and its meaning, and to make that meaning clear in excluding Pākehā from it, but also the ceremony that goes along with it, the way that it's applied, mm-hmm. needs to be protected too? Do you think that's an important part of it?
Yeah, I do think so, and I think that we've seen in recent years the resurgence in particular of uhi and the traditional tapping application of moko, both on, you know, all over the body actually, including moko kauai, and I think that's an important ceremonial resurgence. I don't think there's any less validity, however, of moko that are applied using, you know, the tattoo gun, because we've simply, things do evolve. And it's one of the challenges that we've discussed this week. Yes, things do evolve. We get presented with new machinery that maybe is effective in different ways and for evolving our designs in different ways. So it's not saying that one way of application is better than the other. It's acknowledging we have traditional application, and some of our artists are picking that up now and have been doing so for a number of years, and have done fantastic work in that way. Other artists continue to use the needle, the tattoo gun, and that too is continuing the process of moko.
Excellent. Is there anything that you'd like to add more or thinks is important?
I think it's really important for people to understand that this conversation, although it's been somewhat initiated by the revelation of Sally, the Pākehā woman who's taken on moko kauai and her whānau, it's actually not about them, and it's even not about her artists, but it is about us recognising that the mana, the rangatiratanga, the authority for making these kinds of decisions does need to rest with wahine Māori. So the protection of moko kauai is the right of wahine Māori. We need support from our tāne Māori as well, but we also need them to recognise that if there is ever a question of where this goes, that question and the answer rests with wahine Māori.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.